Shall we look to the Lord? We're thankful, blessed Lord Jesus, for what thou hast given us thus far. The challenges in the lecture and the discussions. And now we realize that we are responsible to answer to the things that we have been made aware of, so that there might be adjustments in our lives individually and in our marriages for the glory of thyself. So we look to thee for thine further help, the help of the Spirit of God, as we give thanks, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
A plug. The question was asked about doing things separately from your spouse, and as to whether or not it's a good thing. Brother Steve Campbell handed something to me that seems to help us answer that question in some form or fashion or shape. It says, men's retreat. He's encouraging the men to get away.
Sister Vicky Du has one.
Oh, Sister Vicky.
Sister's retreat.
There's a little...
So
we're on the
same ground.
Yeah, okay, we are safe. Since there is one for the sisters, that's fine. So he wants to remind you of men's retreat at Mountain View Bible Camp, Saturday, March 4th, 2017. The theme seems to be sit, walk, and stand. Essential actions for Christian men. Open to all 18 and older. The cost is $55. He's encouraging the men to come on out on that occasion and enjoy fellowship together, and certainly the sisters will permit that. And when it is the reverse, the brothers will permit that. Okay. All right, so we are continuing to look, as we said, from an unconventional perspective, using Aquila and Priscilla as the springboard of our discussions. Our lecture this morning reminded us in Acts 18 that Paul had come to Corinth, and so was Aquila and Priscilla there, having been driven out of Rome by Claudius's edict. And so there they are, and Paul sees this wonderful couple with features that were very impressive, and he was attracted and attached to them. And then later on in verse 18, I think we read that they themselves were, let me just pull that up, they were attracted to Paul. Let's see, verse 18, and Paul, having yet stayed there many days, took leave of the brethren and sailed thence to Syria, and with him, I believe that that's the element of attachment as well, with him are Priscilla and Aquila, and that is the reverse in the name, and we pointed out the truth of submission, submission coming out in the line of when it is her as opposed to him taking the lead. So there was that attachment by Paul to them, and then there was that attachment of them to Paul. So now they're in Ephesus. And so we want to look at some things that popped up in regard to this. Maybe we should read again just verse 26. Let's read from verse 24 to 26, because that would be the second piece of our discussions today. At Ephesus now, there was a certain Jew, verse 24, Apollos by name, an Alexandrian by race, an eloquent man who was mighty in the scriptures. He arrived at Ephesus. He was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in his spirit, he spoke and taught exactly the things concerning Jesus, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. And Aquila and Priscilla, having heard him, took him to them, unfolded to him the way of God more exactly. And when he purposed to go into Achaia, the brethren wrote to the disciples, engaging them to receive him, who being come contributed much to those who believed through grace. You know, I should have said this morning that I had looked at the meanings of the names. And I think sometimes it's important to bring out meanings, because they do help in the enhancement of the truth associated with the person's exercise. Aquila means in Hebrew nourished. He shall be nourished. In Latin it's eagle. In Greek it was immovable. So to be nourished says to me that the man has the kind of spirit that is a teachable spirit. Because in order to be nourished up, you must be able to receive first. So here is one who had that feature. And it's essential that we should be characterized by that. Those who have the ability to be nourished up, to be fed, to be built up on our most holy faith, as in the spiritual sense. And then Priscilla means, it says, old woman, little old woman. And another characteristical feature is that it's ancient. Now, I took it to mean this, that she's one who has a sense of the old paths, how vital they are. You know, not surrendering them, but laying hold on them and being guided by them. So you've got one who's to be nourished and one who is ancient, who holds on to things in a substantive way. So I thought it might, just in passing, to put that before us. So the first element we want to chat on this afternoon is the element of knowing the scriptures. Knowing the scriptures. Again, we're correlating the marriage relationship with that of the lifestyle of this couple. They knew the scriptures. Well, how did they? You remember we said this morning the very importance of devotions, family devotions. And we laid emphasis on the fact that you can't get to family devotions if you're not having your own personal time with the Lord. Because the family devotions should not replace the personal time. The family devotions should be an enhancement on what is personal. So I can but imagine that for this couple, Aquila himself, taking active lead in his household, would set the pace in his personal, private time with the Lord, so that he might be nourished up. He sat under the Word of God, and ultimately Priscilla took a lesson, an example from Aquila. She too sought after the very same things that he sought after. So there was a commonality among them in regard to their interest in the scriptures. They both had a sense of appreciation for God's word. And if you take this a bit further into the challenges that the Apostle Paul would issue to Timothy and also to others, he would say to us today, as he did undoubtedly impress upon the hearts of this couple, he impressed on them the importance of becoming acquainted with the scriptures, acquainted with the doctrine. 2 Timothy 3:10 tells us about that. The need for understanding the importance of sound doctrine, sound teaching, so that if we're going to be of an influence in the household and in the assembly ultimately, There is a need for us to be acquainted with the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make us wise unto salvation. The apostle emphasizes that very practically with Timothy. He says, you've known my doctrine. You've fully known my doctrine, my manner of life. Here is a couple who now emulated the manner of life that was in the apostle Paul. The links, the association had somewhat, if you might put it this way, rubbed off on them. They had taken on the truth. They had been acquainted with the apostles' doctrine. Part of the apostles' doctrine we reminded ourselves of was the fact that here now that they are in Ephesus, they come under the influence of the teaching of the truth of the epistle to Ephesians, to the Ephesian saints. The character of that, I mean, they came under that because they were in the place where the truth concerning God's purpose and his counsel had now been made known, the Ephesian epistle. And if you go through that epistle, the first three chapters give to us somewhat of the apostles' deep sense of exercise as to the height and the integrity and greatness of the truth that God had chosen us in Christ. Before the foundation of the world, he had predestined us to be to the place of adoption, the truth of sonship, the truth of the world to come, comes out. So there is a healthy element of truth to which Aquila and Priscilla would be exposed at Ephesus. Now also at Ephesus you'll discover that the assembly was in their house. They had taken up a very important role to establish a local company in their house. Now that's going to be a tremendous testimony to the neighborhood. What kind of testimony are we as couples in our neighborhood? How many of our neighbors know us in regard to not just hi and goodbye, but in regard to the fact that they see something distinctively there of Christ in us, that they can say there is something different about that couple that lives across the way? I am sure that in Ephesus, for Aquila and Priscilla, there was that distinctive feature that was there. The apostles' doctrine was in them, and they were living it out in a very practical, moral way in how they interacted with each other. Do you think anyone could have said, you know, we saw Aquila and Priscilla, they were fighting, you know, we heard them exchanging words. We saw their mannerisms, that it could tell us very definitely that they were having a problem today. Certainly not. There was a clear-cut testimony of something that was different about them because the scriptures were their governing entity. Now, we're not just talking about a couple with good moral features simply because they didn't fight. They didn't get into trouble. They kept themselves away from those things. It was more than that. There was the preponderance of the power of the Spirit of God in their lives that overshadowed them completely, filled them completely, so that what exuded from them was Christ. Not just good morals, but Christ. And I wonder if that is so with us. So we said they were acquainted with the scriptures. Again, we get that also in 2 Timothy 3:16-17. And let me just read that, 16 and 17. It says there, every scripture is divinely inspired and profitable for teaching, for conviction, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, and it says, thoroughly fitted or fully fitted to every good work. This is what they knew. They knew the importance of the divine inspiration of Scripture, and they valued and cherished it. And it was to them as a corrective element. It was profitable to teach. That's the doctrine again. It was profitable for correction, conviction, correction, instruction, so that they were thoroughly furnished. They were fully fitted as individuals and fully fitted as a couple to give true representation of the things of Christ. So I just mentioned that they had an assembly in their house. Let's confirm that in 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 19. So in Ephesus, the assemblies of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla with the assembly in their house salute you much in the Lord. So in the character of having a local testimony, they were a powerful witness not only to Christ and the testimony in general, but they were a powerful witness to what it means to be a couple under the influence of the divine eye, walking according to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5 gives us a pictorial view of the husband and the wife role. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, be in submission to your husbands. The wife is never told to love her husband. Is it because she's not supposed to do that? Yes, she's supposed to do that. But the instruction is never given to her to love. Because from the natural response, that's always the nature of the woman to the man. There is the natural response of loving. We are the ones that have to be told, because we can sometimes see every skirt passing by and be affected by it. So therefore we need to be challenged. Love, and it doesn't just say love your wives, you know. You know what it says? No, not even quite yet as Christ. It says, love your own. I think we've gotta put that in there. Love your own. And I think that's very strong. Not his wife, your own. Therefore, we do so as Christ loved the assembly. So this is the truth that they knew and appreciated very much. Husbands were told to nourish and cherish just as you do your own body. They were acquainted with that kind of knowledge. It's not a matter of just simply loving without purpose. There are some things that we're going to have to do, and I hope we get some questions on that. Things like laying down your life for her, being sacrificial. How are we going to do that? Now, we're not talking about actually going on an altar, but it involves the spirit of sacrificial giving. So these are the things that they had learned in their own souls and their own experiences. Aquila was willing to do for Priscilla. Priscilla came under the spirit of submission, respecting her husband. How do we do that, wives? How do we respect our husbands? How do we make much of them so that they feel a sense of your support? How do we do that? These are things that existed among this couple. We as men, we're told in Ephesians 5, we nourish and cherish our own bodies, don't we? We make sure that we bathe them, we keep them clean, we put on some smell-em good-uns, and then we become attractive. Scripture says, you care for your natural body that way, you've got to care for your wife in the same way. Aquila knew that. Priscilla knew how to respond to a caring husband. These are just some thoughts that we will consider as we also open up our discussions. Let's move on to the latter segment. The verses I read at the end of Acts 18. There is a man by the name of Apollos, a believer. We're told he's a certain Jew named Apollos by Alexandrian race, an eloquent man, mighty in the scriptures. And he came to Ephesus and he was ministering the word. Good opportunity to let the saints know somewhat of the truth of Scripture. And there he is ministering. And I want us to understand that Aquila and Priscilla are not spiritual critics. They didn't sit down under Apollos' ministry and said, you know what, every time someone comes in, we know better, and so we are going to always have a critical eye in assessing what is said and what is not said. So they were not spiritual critics in that sense. And yet, they had a keen sense about them, an ability to compare scripture with scripture. And that is what I think is important. The ability to compare scripture with scripture, not to sit down and be a critic. And that is the nature, the wonderful nature of this couple, so that they could compare things. It's like the Berean spirit, right? They were more noble than the Thessalonians because they didn't just take the message of Paul for granted. They took it and they searched it out to make sure that things are so. And that was the spirit of Aquila and Priscilla. So while Apollos is ministering, they heard something. They heard something under, as they sat listening to Apollos. The emphasis is to look at how they took him under their wings. They heard something that was not quite right. So what do we do? Unfortunately, sometimes as brethren, we have roast brethren for dinner. Isn't that true? We have roast brethren for dinner. An exercise, I think, that we each need to bear. So they did not have roast Apollos. But I found a scripture in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 25 and 11. They had instead apple pie on a silver platter. Let's look at Proverbs 25. I think that will help us bear the point. Proverbs 25 and 11. Here's where I said they had apple pie. It says, as apples of gold in pictures of silver is a word spoken in season. Apples of gold in pictures of silver is a word spoken in season. And here is a word spoken in season to Apollos. A word that would recover him, that would instruct him, a word that he can go on so that from here on in, he doesn't just know the baptism of John, but he knows more than that. He's developed in Scripture. He's had the influence of an Aquila and a Priscilla who took him quietly, brought him home, ministered to him, encouraged him, enlightened him, gave him something of substance to go on. That's a beautiful character of a couple who was under the influence of God and can influence Apollos. They unfolded to him the way of God more exactly, it says in verse 26. So what did they really say to Apollos? They said, Apollos, we want you to have an outline of sound words. We want to make sure that that's what you have. We want you to be so impacted by the things that you learn so that they establish you substantively in the Scriptures. We want you to have an outline of sound words. And that comes up in verse 2 Timothy 1:13, an outline of sound words. 2 Timothy 2:15 also tells us the importance of cutting in a straight line the word of truth. This is a tremendous interest that this couple had, that they might see Apollos taking a straight line in the doctrine, that he's able to decipher what is objective versus what is subjective, that he would be able to distinguish between what is for Israel yet to come, what is for the assembly today, that he knows how to separate out things because they themselves had learned the truth of what it meant to move in a straight line. They encouraged him. Certainly, they did not bulldoze him. They encouraged him concerning the things that were there so that he might have sound teaching with which he would then be able to stand up for the truth. He'd be able to refute gainsayers. They made sure that this man, under divine influence and guidance of the Spirit of God through them, was able to walk away with something substantive of the truth. So that, it says, when he left, he purposed to go into Achaia. The brethren wrote to the disciples, engaging them to receive him. I think the spirit of an Apollos is a wonderful spirit. There's no complaining. Do you think you know more than I do? I know just as much as you do. Absolutely not. Nothing of that sort. There was a humble spirit. There was a receptive spirit. There was the spirit of wanting to learn. He understood for himself that this book is a vast book. It's full of teaching. I don't know everything. But you know what? I can learn from the brethren who know something. You know, we learn line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. That's how we are. And so I must be prepared to be available to my brethren so that I might be instructed and that I might receive it in the spirit in which it is being done. Apollos received it in the spirit in which it was being done. And so that when he went off to Achaia, there was a letter of commendation that points out the spirit of this man. May we, beloved, as we've touched on these two elements, give evidence to that we are under, as a couple, under the influence of Scripture, because we've been exposed to the ministry of the Apostle Paul, so that too we might be able to help the apostles, because we have gained the truth, and that we will approach the apostles in the spirit of wanting to recover rather than a spirit of haughtiness, that we might be good testimonies of Christ as couples in this scene for His glory, for His name's sake.